All right, everybody, I think we are ready. I am testing a little bit today, so bear with me. Let me get to recording. So welcome, everyone. We're going to do Q&A today. I am doing this from Zoom into Facebook today because I have another class I have to teach, and my Mac is back. So I need to be able to test and make sure that everything's working, you can hear me, that I look nice, all that kind of amazing shit. So if you will, say I have got, on one side, I have the comments going. Looks like everybody's coming in good. And then I have the camera right here. So if you see me looking around in weird places, it's because Kathy's doing the questions over on one screen. So like questions are on this screen. Corinne is here. Facebook is over here. It's a little odd. But today's Q&A day, so you get to ask whatever you want. Y'all can go ahead and start populating questions. Just use hashtag ask. Kathy's going to filter them into me. And until we get some questions going, I'll just tell you a little bit about what's going on with me. Nothing much other than my computer is finally back, which is a good thing. I am working on today. So I want to thank everyone who was my guinea pig last night. I went into the Facebook group and posted my ideas for the new recovery worksheet. If you guys don't know, I think that, well, you're going to learn next month. So we have this entire new deep dive coming in for overeating next month. So I'm going to give you a little bit more of a preview on that next week. But just so you know, every single month in PNP, we do some kind of course. Like I either write a new course like we're doing this month as a brand new accountability course, or we take something that we already have in PNP, and then I teach all month long on just going further into it. So next month, what we're going to do is we're going to take the Taking Control module of No BS. That is module 5. And you guys are going to make sure that you've been through it. And then throughout the entire month of March, we're going to focus heavily on overeating. The program that I've written also is taking some of our older worksheets and giving them a complete facelift just based upon all the research that we've done, coaching you guys, books I've read, just all of the things. And so one of the things that got updated was the recovery worksheet, because when I looked at it, I was like, oh, this could be even better. Like just knowing what we know now, it could be better. So last night I came into the Facebook group and asked for feedback and help as I was building it out. We went from a 3-page version down to it's only 2 pages. And then I created also what's called the 2-minute drill worksheet. So we have, if I want to get really brass tacks, know what my overeats are all about, there's going to be that version, which I'm going to highly encourage most of you to use. But let's just say that you're on vacation, or that you are like you're at work, or you're just like, I can't even right now fathom diving that deep into my overeats, but I need to know the core of my problem. So I created a 2-minute drill version. It's a 1-pager, simple. It's like the most important questions and pulled out the most important things. Like if you could identify anything, let's at least start here. So that's all going to be in there. And then the other thing that I've updated, oh my gosh, y'all. So I'm teaching this brand new concept next month called mouth hunger versus belly hunger. So we're going to break down the kinds of hunger that we're actually experiencing and what it means and how do we get to more normal type eating, all that kind of stuff. So there's a brand new urges worksheet. So we've had an urges worksheet in the past where you just wrote down the urges that you didn't respond to. And I was like, I just want it to be better. Like I want us to really be dialing into urges more. And so the lessons in there have like a worksheet all about distinguishing the types of hunger that you're having and how many times you're thinking about food throughout the day, why, and like, did you eat or not? And then strategies that go along with it. So there's all kinds of stuff in there. The workbook's a little long as usual. I get a little windy when I get to finding new content and I start thinking, oh gosh, if we're going to solve overeating, like what are the things we have to know? We're talking a lot about diet beliefs, uncovering them, not being afraid of them, why we overeat, why we soothe ourselves with it. Is it normal? Like we are totally debunking the mindset behind all of it. And then we're going to dig into why we do it. And then we're going to like implore strategies on how to stop doing it. So there's a little talk in there about the realistic plan, also a deeper dive into that, all kinds of goodies. So that's what you have to look forward to. That's what I've been working feverishly on for the last 7 days. And today is the day I finalized my workbook and I start working on my presentation that I will give you the very first Monday in March. So there you go. All right, some questions. What are some good ideas for rewards for weight loss, tracking, et cetera? I am trying to keep myself accountable, having something to look forward to. I don't know. What do you like? Because what I like, you might not like. That's what you have to ask. It's like, well, what are some good rewards for me? What are some things that would be like fun for me? Like some of the things that I love to reward myself with is like when I, like a lot of times when I, like when I get past the outline stage very often in a program, let's say that I'm going to create this program and I get past the outline stage. A lot of times I treat myself to just going to Panera for the day and working. Like I use it as like, oh, I just want to go and have like this luxe, like office experience. And to me, going to Panera and being around other people with my headphones in allows me to like work more focused and stuff. But I gear it up as a treat for myself. I mean, you can do like the traditional manicures and pedicures. You can order a book, like a fun book, or you can order like a book or do like maybe some audios or something. I think this is something that's better though, asked inside the tribe in terms of what are their ideas? Like how are they rewarding themselves? Because I think it depends on what you like. Like I'm not a stuff person. Like I just don't like things. I like experiences more than anything. And I think it's because like I grew up really poor. So I spent a lot of years just getting stuff and realizing that stuff didn't make me happy. But one of the things that really like floats my boat is experiences. And so I'm always trying to think of how can I reward myself with experiences. And so I think about it that way. A lot of times for me, like if I lost 5 pounds, I would probably, you know, reward myself with a hike someplace or, you know, something like I like to think about it is, what is it that is something that I would typically not plan and I'm going to plan it like it's a real treat? And that's what I would probably do. Why is it so easy to stay in research mode rather than quit the bullshit and take action? Because research doesn't require any work. It's fun to learn. When you're learning, your brain is going wild on, and when I do these things, I'm going to feel this way. Oh yeah, that makes so much sense. The problem becomes is that there's work involved. That's the only reason why it's easy to stay in research mode. Research mode just doesn't require you to do anything with anything. That's why I'm like, don't research until you have actually put into action something that, like if you read a book, like all of you are reading Atomic Habits. Until you actually set some of it into play in your life, you don't get to read another book. Like you have to pick out, you do not, this is the thing. When you like research and you read some stuff online or whatever, if you find something that you think is, oh, that's great, like this right here, then you do something with it before you earn the next treat of research. You don't just keep researching. So like recently I read a book called Clockwork. And before I'm like working on the next business book that I'm going to read, I'm going to make sure that I've gone through and implemented what I wanted to implement from that book. I have set it aside for a minute to do the research for this course, but I did my research and I put it into action. I didn't just keep reading because I could read diet books all day long. I love them. I love them. I love them. But I'll be going back to that book. And then I've already put some of the stuff into play. And then I'm going to put the rest of the stuff in play. So it's like, it's figuring out like when you read something, what is the one thing I can put into action? And then once you do that, then you've earned the next one. Do you know when the new recovery will be available? March 1st. The new program releases on March 1st. Everything releases. So how we do it, Barbara, is that on the 25th of every month, I do a call with the tribe that's like the preview of the month. Here's what's coming up. It's like, it's just a news show. I don't do any coaching or anything. It's just like, here's the news of the day. Then on the first of the month, the entire program releases. Every now and then we'll release things a little early just because like somebody's going to be off for the day or whatever. But basically on the first, all the new deliverables will come out. So you'll see a new button on the website. The workbook will be there with the worksheets and everything inside of it. Do I really do a recovery worksheet each time I do small grab ass taste my kid foods, etc.? Mindy, here's my answer. You don't have to if you're not interested in losing weight. If you'd like to lose weight, I would for fuck sure do one every single time. The recovery worksheet teaches you why you're grab assing. Unless you think grab assing and you are going to be cozy buddy friends for the rest of your life and that's how you're going to lose your weight, then yeah, I wouldn't do that. Like, you don't. Here's the thing. If you like your grab assing, don't change it. If you want to change your grab assing and lose more weight, get on the recovery worksheets. You guys are always so hesitant to do the work that's going to get you your weight loss. It's like, I would be hesitant to quit avoiding the work that's going to get me to my weight loss. That's how what I would think about. So what I would do, Mindy, is I would ask yourself, why would I even ask that question? Why would I? And I'm not shaming you. Please do not take it this way. This is like literally a thought work question that all of you, because this is so many of you. Why would I ever entertain the idea that skipping the work to end my overeating and habits that keep the weight on me is like a good idea? Like, think about like your excuses. Like, well, they're just little or they're just these things. That's the whammy ass thoughts. Doing the recovery worksheet will show you how often you're thinking little things like grab asses, because I think you actually called it a small grab ass or taste of my kid's food. It's like, but it's just a taste, but it's just a little. It's like, yeah. And let me just tell you, every time that you don't lose weight and it could have been down 0.2 or 0.4, you're going to have like this small crushing blow to your ego. But I worked so hard this week. You're going to have a small ass fit that you stayed the same versus losing a little this week. Like, a small grab ass means a small loss or no loss on the scale. Would you expand on the response you gave on the thread last week? Oh my God, last week. Where the midlife ladies were saying they needed a change in life. You said to list 20 thoughts about your current situation, then think about what types of feelings you want to spur change. You said those probably won't come from your current life. Not 100% sure what that means. Let's see. You said to list 20 thoughts about your current situation. Okay, so if you're wanting to change your life, you need to have like, what are the things I think about my situation now? And then you need to ask yourself what types of feelings you want to spur change. Okay, so you make a list of the 20 things that you think about your current life and your current situation. And then you're going to like, here's how I would do it. The next column would be, and when I think these things, like it, one sentence in that column, like 21 sentences, you don't get paragraphs over there. You get one sentence. And then when I think each one of those sentences, I feel this. If it doesn't feel exciting, hopeful, open, curious, if your current life, if you're not feeling that way, we're not going to change because we feel stuck. We feel unmotivated. Like, if you want to change your life, you can't be sitting around in your current life feeling unmotivated, hoping that starting something new will motivate you. It will die out because what you haven't done, you haven't practiced a willingness in your current life to improve it so that you've set yourself up to work through things when they're hard, when they're unmotivated. Like, when you feel stuck, it's like you don't want to change because you feel stuck. You want to change because you've examined this and you're like, it's not because I'm stuck. I'm envisioning something better for me. Like, I've maximized this area of my life, or I'm ready for a change and I feel hopeful. There's a big difference in energy there. So when I was talking about this, the current thoughts that you have about your current life will carry over into the new stuff. So if you start a new career or whatever you do, what you practice here, you will practice there the moment it gets hard, or the moment you feel self-doubt, or the moment it feels like no progress is being made. Because you are gotten so used to that's just how your life is. You'll be like, oh, see, here I did. I like started a new career, did all these other things, and I'm right back to where I was, because your thinking will lead you back there. When you are going to change your life, like, it's so much like when you guys start losing weight. If you listen to before you joined, so much of what I talk about is to inspire you to want change, to envision a better version of you, the like to like be looking at your current life and know that you're willing to leave it because there's something else out there, not because it's so miserable. Like, we all know there are things that we don't like about our life, but if we're feeling stuck in it, that means we think our life is sticking us. A new job is not going to unstick us. Our thoughts about it will. Like, your life can't do things to you or make you feel anything. That's why it's so important to list out those thoughts and see where your thought, your feelings are. Because what happens very often is when you work on that current situation, you're either going to be compelled to want to take some action and do something else, or you're going to realize that so much of what you've been thinking was just all on you anyway. Your life might be looked at through a different lens and you may not want to change it as much. You may be able to like do a lot of work on your current life and make it even better and enhance it just because you're like, okay, my life isn't to blame. My situation isn't to blame. It can't make me feel things. When you start understanding how I think about my life is how I'm, this is why I'm feeling those things. You're not in such a rush to change it. You're more in a rush to figure out how you want to show up in it. I joined in January and been doing really well. Last week, I also stopped smoking. Wow. And started rowing. Woo, look at you. But now I'm having a much harder time sticking to my plan. Any advice for doing both aspects of health and overeating? Plan, 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 Heidi. Here's the thing. You are going to need to have your plan dialed every single day. It needs to be very realistic. You need to like continue each day to meet yourself where you're at. You also need to start saying, I am losing my weight. I no longer smoke. I'm not a smoker. I'm someone who's losing weight. Like, you need to like really put that in your brain a lot, because as you're coming off of your food is probably fine. It's going to be the smoking. You're going to be coming off the chemicals and all that kind of stuff. You probably moved out of that phase on my food side, but it's just that whole idea of identifying with this, like, I'm a healthy person. Look at me. Like, reminding yourself all the time, like, not I'm trying to change my life. It's like, I've changed my life. I'm losing weight. I'm not a smoker. I am an exerciser. Like, and just bathing in those thoughts every day is like going to be huge and key. The other thing is going to be really important for the weight loss side of it is to understand that at night, you're going to be mentally tapped even more than you are when you're just trying to lose weight, because now you're going to be managing your mind around not wanting to smoke. And you may even be, if you're new to rowing, you're going to be a little bit more physically tired. So in the evenings, what I would do is I would watch out and do obstacles and strategies for your evenings. They need to be very planned. They need to be well thought out. You need to have like this, I forget what it's called. It's not the come to Jesus moment. I keep wanting to call it the come to Jesus moment. But I'm getting ready to read this book for next month's, the April class is all about taking action. Like, how do we go from like just listening to every word Corinne has to say to going to, okay, now I'm going to actually put some of this shit into play, right? We're going to focus a month on that. And I've got this book that I want to read that I've been listening to this guy on this podcast about. And he calls it, I can't remember, but it's like, it's your daily come to Jesus. It's essentially where, you know, you're going into the part of the day where your brain is most tapped. For most of us, it's always going to be in the evenings. The way the human brain for the like 80% of people is set up is to have like a period of time during the first part of the day that it's on fire. The hardest work of the day is should be put there, because your brain is ready to do all kinds of analytical work or your best creative work or whatever it is. So if you were going to be, you know, breaking down your plan, setting your goals, getting your intentions right, like, that is the beautiful time to do it, because your brain is like, fuck yeah, this is what we're doing. It's like morning. The whole world is right before us. 20% of the people are evening people. I don't really see a lot of our girls in here as usually being evening people. So the middle part of the day is what they call like a lull part. This is where kind of the brain is like, damn, now we've been going and we've been making decisions and we've been creative and all this other stuff. During that part of the day, we are most of the time at work. We have to keep showing up. So our brain has to be able to function. It wants a break. So you can set your middle part of the day up to make sure that you have a really good lunch. like a, for all of you, a satisfying, good lunch that's going to like be the healthiest meal of your day. It sets the tone for the back half, all that kind of stuff. And if you can take a walk, if you can like just listen to a podcast, take 10 minutes away from work. Like I structure my naps every single day during that period of the day. I always do because that's, but not everybody can take a nap, but we can all take a brain nap. A brain nap means you take a, you do not go to social media. You don't do anything that's like fucking with your head. Like you want something that's like literally allows your brain to check out. A lot of people will meditate for 5 minutes. They'll just go to the bathroom and they'll put on a meditation app. Even if you're sitting on a damn toilet, like just giving yourself like a little bit of time to say, all right, brain, I think they call it Zamboni the brain. So like in hockey, that little break that you take in the middle of the day is like your Zamboni time. So when they play hockey, and guys, I don't watch hockey, but I know this much about it. As they play, they kind of like shit all over the, like they shit the field, right? So the ice rink is like got nicks and all this other stuff. The Zamboni comes out, it smooths the glass, right? So what you're doing is you're smoothing the glass of the brain for the back half. What most of us do is we push through that period and then we try to like just get in the car, go get the kids, drive home and start the next part of the day, which they call it the second wind part of your day or the recovery part of your day. And in that part, that's where a lot of us are going to be doing some things like cooking dinner. We're going to be doing whatever, right? So anyway, during that part of the day, we are at our, also our brain is trying to kickstart back up before it shuts back down. And so it's really like it's very important for overeaters for that part of the day to have plans if you typically cave, because if you're not smoothing the glass before you go home, then you're going to eat to smooth the glass. So you need to figure out how you're going to either get it in either before you walk in the door, your come to Jesus moment. It's like, all right, I'm going to take a breath. I'm going to think about like me walking in, going straight past the pantry, all the crazy thoughts and stuff. I'm going to calm myself down now. I'm going to tell myself this is what we're going to be doing. Like you're going to visualize the evening and then you go in. What most of us do is we hope for the best and then we do the exact same things over and over and over again each day by driving the same way home. We walk in the door the same way. Like we don't even change what door we go into. For some of you, you go through the garage every day and you walk right to your refrigerator. It's like going through the front door. Just do something to change your pattern, right? But you visualize yourself changing patterns and showing up as a new person. Like the person who doesn't eat doesn't keep coming in the house the same way they do every single day. Or the person who doesn't eat when they get home, they do these things. So then during your recovery period, you want to be particularly planned because you're going to be managing your mind way more all day long. And you're going to need to be able to smooth the glass a little bit. So in the evenings, you're not going to be as tempted. What is going to happen, though, is you probably will have urges. We're all going to have urges in the evening. Let's just collectively get over that bullshit. What we need to do, though, is get really a lot better at our strategies for handling urges and understanding why we have them, changing up our habits around them, like not getting freaked out by them. The more that you freak out, the more you're going to require another Zamboni. And for some of you, if you think about how it all works, you're going to be going, you're going to be pushing hard through your recovery time. And then you're going to go, or your middle of the day slump, then you're going to go into your recovery time. You're going to be pushing hard again. And then you wonder why at 8 o'clock you're tapped out and you're wanting to eat every night. You have to start building in either some smoothing the glass time, or you're going to have to start visualizing and planning exquisitely for that part of the evening. Like it can have zero decisions to make. It needs to know exactly what we're going to watch on television. If you are going to eat, it needs to be dialed what you're going to eat. Like you need to have every decision possibly made. Guys, if you're even going to, whether you're going to clean the dishes or not each night, like for those of you who overeat at night, I highly recommend that your evening plan is so fucking legit, it's unreal. Like you have made every possible decision you can so that when the little decisions from the littles come up, or the husbands or the cat or whoever, when those little ones come up, you have like, you're running on fumes. So if you have all of those decisions made, you've got about a quarter tank left gas left in the tank. All right. And that's what you want to have. You don't want to be answering them on fumes. And then you're like, I'm out. I got to eat. All right. I hope all that made sense. I asked this question in the Facebook group, but how do you know when you're leveling up compared to engaging in diet mentality? When you're leveling up, it feels good. Diet mentality feels like shit. That's how you know. Like, there's fear and there's like shoulds and I'm supposed to. I wonder what my neighbor's doing. There's compare and despair. Like, leveling up always feels inquisitive, curious. You're willing to try. If it doesn't work out, you know you're not going to beat yourself up because it's like, I'm leveling up. It'll either work or it won't. That mentality says, well, I should be doing this. So I'm going to do this. And the second it didn't work out, it's like, see, I knew it. That's the difference. I've been stalling a little, not concerned, but I was leaning to plan only a snack for lunch since I can push back, breakfast later. I would just try it. That's all I would do. I would just try it. Just agree to yourself. If it doesn't work out, there's no verbal beatdowns. That's the diet mentality. We're going to cover it hard next month. Like, it's going to go deep over there. Diet mentality, basically, the difference between leveling up, literally, guys, between leveling up and diet mentality is it may be the same actions. One feels good. One will increase your momentum. One will motivate you eventually. One, it'll feel hard. Like, there's a discomfort there. But this one over here, you feel like you have to do it. You should be doing it. There's a lot of like bullshit going on. I feel older than I am. Oh, I feel the older I am, even though I'm a young, busy nurse. Is it harder to lose since I'm older? I don't really understand this question. I feel the older I am, it's harder. No, it's not hard. Here's the bottom line. It's not harder to lose weight when you're older. We have plenty of women in here that are in their 60s that have lost over 50 pounds. And if they can do it, any of us can. And here's why. Because they've had 60 years of bullshit mentality stacked on them. They have even more crap than us 40 and 30-year-olds in their brain chomping at them. They've been through more crazy diets than we've even had. And they're in there like, no excuses, balls to the wall. I'm not going to let anything stop me. Like, y'all quit using your age as an excuse. I don't care if it feels harder. You just keep going until you quit telling yourself it feels harder. I've gotten to where I grab ass, eat off plan. If I even have one planned, I've got the mindset that I've lost 60 pounds so I can have this, or that when I do feel like shit for what I've ate, I need to do recovery. Yeah. You need to be doing your recovery worksheets, Lorna. That's exactly what they're going to uncover. I mean, seriously, you have a big ass excuse. I've lost 60 pounds so I can now eat like the old version of me who didn't give a fuck about what they ate. Oh, that's all that's happening here. I've decided I don't care anymore. I care sometimes. And this losing the 60 pounds didn't trigger this. Like, I want you to be really clear on your circumstances. Like, I've lost 60 pounds, so now I don't care. It's like, no, you lost 60 pounds because you cared so fucking much. Now it's, here's a piece of pie. That is your circumstance. We want to make it tie back to the loss of 60 pounds. It's like, I've lost 60 pounds. You may start feeling comfortable, but you need a thought that allows you to keep moving forward and allows for comfort. Don't use your 60 pounds against you. It ain't your 60 pounds fault that you're eating. You need to be really clear on that. I think the secret to my nighttime eating is like your piece of chocolate cake, lady. Does she make it up and slice it up? Is it prepackaged? I love you. Thank you, Jennifer. Hey, Jennifer, tag. Oh my gosh. It's not Tanya. Is it Michelle? Who? Oh my God. Red hair. Beautiful. Why can't I think of her name? Bobby Ritchie's friend, Tanya's friend. Oh my God. And she's got such a loud mouth. What is her name? I love her. She gave me the t-shirt. Somebody who's from the Hot Mess Express. Leah, if any of you are in here, Kathy, you probably know who. I've just blanked on her name. Her face is like right in my, like, eyesight. Tag who it is. And let Melanie, shit, I knew it started with a damn N. Tag Melanie, guys. Will y'all, everybody's like, it's Melanie. I need more coffee. I would ask her exactly how she does it. In fact, I think she did a Facebook Live the other day talking about her chocolate cake. Mary Jo, I see you're in here. I almost think Melanie did. I think I remember seeing this video. If it's still in there, will you tag Jennifer on that video? If it's not, ask Melanie to either do a video or type up what she does with chocolate cake. But yeah, the secret to your nighttime eating is going to be to just to plan fucking something. But here's the thing. Here's how I would do it. This is how like I like to do things. So like I have this thing about peanut butter, right? I love peanut butter. I don't keep jars in the house. Here's why. More times than not, I've ate half the jar and felt sick. I just love it. It's easy to do. It's like I've got all my bullshit excuses. So what I do is rather than even put myself in the position, like I don't say like, oh, I can't have it or whatever. I'm like, all right, what is the best way for me to enjoy peanut butter and give myself the opportunity to eat it like a responsible grown-ass fucking woman? Packets. I go buy packets. I do that with a lot of stuff. Like if I'm going to have chips in the house, like if I'm going to have pop chips, a lot of times I don't buy them in big bags. I just buy them in small bags. I love anything that gives me like a visual of what to do. It gives me an automatic speed bump. Like, oh, I know that you're the kind of person that loves to just like dive head first, but let me just teach you future. Or like, this is when my current self has my future self's back. Like future self, when the peanut butter's in the house and I'm really tired and I've been working really hard, wants to sit down with the jar and we'll just eat it and be like, oh, womp, womp, did it again. Like, I would love to say that I'm the kind of person who's going to be like, I'm above all that. I'm going to be able to talk myself out of it. It's like, no, you know what? There's only 500 jars of half-eaten peanut butter in the graveyard at this point. I think what I'm going to do is rather than like keep on trying, I'm going to try a new strategy. So for me, what would happen is I would probably make a cake and I would cut it up and I would freeze pieces. I don't know if you can do that with cake, however you can do shit with cake. But like I would like portion some shit out and then I would have it where it's like, it's planned. I get this. And that's what I would do. Or I would just be like, okay, I want to have cake each night. I'd go to the store and I would be like, here is a cake. Will you cut it into individual serving slices and put it in those little plastic containers for me? They'll do shit like that. I'd do that. That's probably more what I would do just because you could never see me baking a cake. Like I would love to see me bake a cake. I'd be like, wow, I'm actually making a cake. How do I handle the smell of food? It triggers desire to eat when I'm not hungry. You just need to be very aware of it, Barbara. You're going to have to teach your brain that when you smell it, just say like, of course it smells delicious. It's supposed to smell delicious, but that doesn't mean I'm physically hungry. You need to just tell yourself, it's like, it will trigger the desire for sure. Like I can always go places and be like, ooh, I'd love to have some of that bread and not be hungry at all. But sometimes when I go to Panera, that's what happens. It's like, I'm sitting there and like, I'm like, ooh, I'm not even hungry, but just smelling the bread and stuff makes me like think about food and junk like that. And I just tell myself, it's like, it's supposed to smell good and it's okay for it to smell good. And it's natural for my body to want to eat it, but I know I'm not hungry. And it's having that conversation. What things do you do to make yourself a better runner? Have you not listened to any of the podcasts where I've been trying to do the sub 35K for, I don't know, as long as I've been trying to lose weight? Yeah. All right. I'll take a wild guess, Molly. No, I love boxing, weightlifting, and yoga, but I have a goal to become a runner so I can participate in 5K runs with my friends. I hate running right now, but I'm trying to learn to love it so I can reward myself with these social healthy events. I would probably just go ahead and sign up for it. I would only run like for a 5K. You only need to run 20 to 30 minutes, like 3 days a week. You don't have to run tons of time. If you want to have, once you get into the habit of doing it and you want to push one of your runs out to like 40, 45 minutes, that's fine. But you're probably not going to love running and doing like sprint work and stuff. That's just my guess. And if you want to just be able to run for fun, we'll just run for fun. I can't really tell from what you're saying. Like you hate running right now. Have you thought about walking some of these 5Ks and just telling your friends like, hey, I just want to do walk runs and then I'll see you guys at the finish line. Cause like when I go to runs, I won't run with people. Like ask Kathy and them. I'm like, no. Like even people that like people will always want to run with me. I'm like, no, like earbuds. Like I'm here to just do my own thing. I do not like exercising with other people. I never have. Now I like going walking with other people, but like I barely would even lift weights with someone else because it's like, I want to have the freedom to just do what I want to do. Right. So what I would do is just decide, do you want to walk it or not? You could do that. You could just do run walks if that would feel better. But like if you're going to you need to quit telling yourself, I hate running. You need to say, I love the idea of running enough to be able to do 5Ks with my friends. Like put your mind on what you want, not just on what you hate. Eventually you'll like the running more. But what I would do is that because you like, it sounds like you like boxing and weightlifting and stuff. That's kind of like me. Like I love more like intense stuff. Like I love the Peloton because I can get down and all that kind of stuff. I would like just set it up to where you do some, like I like to do a lot of run walks. And so like every day the run walk is a little different. So like I did it today, tail end of my strength training. I gave myself 20 minutes to do run walks and I did like 30 seconds at one pace, 1 minute at a different, 30 seconds at another pace. And then I walked for 1 minute. And I did that for the whole 20, like whatever, you know, like by the time 20 minutes was up and I just did it that way. And I set like 3 different paces so that it just felt like it was constantly changing the whole time. So I wasn't going to get bored because running bores me. That's my big problem. And so I have to structure my running to have like, I like it to have like intervals and stuff. Like to just run just tears me up. Like I get bored real easy unless I can go running outside sometimes. Like I don't even love it that much to go out there. That's why I've given up the half marathons. It's like, I just can't train that long. Some girls in the tribe were asking when the small planner will be coming out. Any update? It's going to be a little bit. We are updating the planner. And so I don't want to do the small planner and it be a different version than the big planner. I want them to have the same language and stuff in there. So it's probably going to be, it's probably going to be May or June before it comes out because we are going to, we're opening the tribe again. Just so everybody knows, the tribe will probably be opening at the tail end of March or first of April. It's all going to depend on my move. So, and please no one ask about this because it's like my brain is in the complete toilet about this move right now. Like I had to do an oral TDL with my friend today. And I said, I just want you to know this whole Marco Polo is going to be full of frustration, anger, venom, all of my thoughts and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, and I know it all, but that shit's got to get out. Like it can't just live in here right now. And so I did that and I war gamed. And then I just decided like, can't do shit right now. So we're setting it aside for the rest of the day. Tomorrow, I get to have my shitty moment bucket with my move. Eventually, things will work out. Right now, I'm like, this is the reason why, like, I never will do a remodel on a house. I'm having hardly fucking anything done. And it is like getting Methuselah to do something. Just drives me. You know me, guys. I'm like fast action. Everybody who's on their own sweet ass time, I'm like, does nobody like to make money in this world? Am I the only one? I'm like, oh my God. It's just driving me crazy. All right. So yeah, it'll be later. Where did you read about the parts of the day you just described? I didn't read that, but there's several books that talk about it. I cannot remember what the guy's name is, but there's one where he talks about larks and night owls. And I think there's a couple of other animals in the middle of the day. There might be a tiger or a lion or something like that, but there's several books about it. I heard this on a podcast. It was a Tony Robbins podcast. Let me see if I can find it because I'm buying this guy's book. Podcasts. Timing is everything. It's the Tony Robbins podcast. It was dropped on Tuesday. Daniel Pink. It's like he's talking about the best time for meetings and stuff, but I was applying it to weight loss. Like, you know me, I can make anything fit in the weight loss bucket. Can hunger cues change as you go along? Yes. Kathy, link Amanda to the call that we did this week. I think it was my, I don't know if it was yesterday's call or if it was Monday's call. I don't remember what call it was, but there was one where we talked about the hunger skein change or the hunger skill changing. The negative two was easier for the first 5 weeks or so. Now the growls aren't there. Keep waiting, Amanda. Just keep waiting. If the growls aren't there, keep waiting. You may just now be getting to where your body's super efficient at burning your own fat for calories, and it's like legit not hungry. See if you can wait. Every now and then, guys, when you're losing weight, I'm going to tell you, you're going to hit these plateaus. These things are going to happen. And so like you might go, like you may have a day where like you keep waiting and you keep waiting. It's like, oh my God, I'm only going to eat one time today. That's just where that day your body's like, I'm so ready to burn some fat. But then the next day you may get hungry three times and that's fine. The reason why we teach you listening to the hunger scale and we teach all that stuff is so that you get really good at honoring when your body's ready to burn fat and not honoring somebody's app of what they think is going to happen. I'm typically satisfied at around 6 or 7 after dinner, but laying in bed later at 10, I'm wildly hungry. Eat or no? I'd probably just plan for like a small little snack. Like if you're hungry at 10, it could just be because you need to be going to bed. And if you're not going to bed, then your body's thinking, oh, we must be needing to stay up for a while. We're must going to need calories and all this other stuff when it might be trying to wind down. So I'd either just go to bed like at 9:30 or 9:45 and like beat it. Or if you do want to eat a little bit, you've got three options. You can do that. You can also just be like, no, I'm not going to respond to the hunger for a few days. Let it like get used to me going to bed hungry. Or what you can do is you can plan for a small snack, make it very unentertaining though. It doesn't need to be something like, you know, like I'm going to now have ice cream. It needs to be just something boring. Like I'm going to have 10 nuts so that like, and like just count them out because that's all you really need because you're getting ready to go to bed and you want to have something like a fat on you so that your body is not sitting there like, okay, well, I'm going to wait on burning off your ass while I'm burning off this like delicious little granola yogurt desserty thingy that you make every night. Is there any time when feeling negative emotions like sadness is good for you? All the time. Like half your life you need to be feeling bullshit. Like right now, I want to be frustrated that this timeline's not working out. It's fine. I don't want to eat over it. But I'm okay with being frustrated. It's not going how I think it should. It's like, I'm fine with feeling that way. Now, if I was feeling that way and spinning out and not doing my work and calling everybody and their mama and bitching and moaning about it and doing all that kind of stuff, that'd be one thing. But it was like, you know what? No, it's not. It's like, I have all these plans. It'd be great if this was like underway. I think like they're not doing their part. Yeah, I don't want to be like super excited or like forgiving or whatever. It's like, no, I want to be a little frustrated. I want to be in a mode where I'm going to take action. Sometimes like when you're sad, like if that cat that just walked out of here died, I'd be on the ground. This call would not happen. I'd be like, coaches, take over. I will be under the house for like a week. I love her. Like I'm supposed to feel sad. If Logan... When this little girl like acted like a douchewad to him back in sixth grade and his feelings were hurt, I was sad. I was sad he had to go through it. I understood it was part of life, but I don't want to see my baby cub crying either. Like, so yeah, you're supposed to feel some shit. With all the thought working models, I'm wondering where we draw the line between feeling negative emotions and trying to change them. You start changing them when you notice that the result sucks. Some negative emotions, it's like you experience them and you're like, if I'm feeling sad and my action line is cry and the result is I miss my mother. Let's say that like, I'm like thinking about Mammy and my first thought is, you know, I haven't seen her in so long and that makes me feel sad. And my action is I call her. No harm, no foul. The difference is if I think like, you know, I can't believe she moved to Florida. That sucks. And my feeling is like sadness and I eat because I can't handle she's not here. And I like slip into, you know, just anger, whatever it may be. And then the result is gain weight. and not see my mother, like not connect, like connect to the food and not my body, that's when we know we need to be doing some fucking thought work. But when you're having like emotions and you own them, you can have any that you want. What I like to think about it more is like when I'm choosing like frustration or anger or sadness or whatever it may be, right? When I'm choosing all of that, or like when I feel let down, the difference is when your model is going to be way more effective when you notice those negative emotions, but you in your thought line understand this is what I'm choosing. It's okay to feel this. Like, this is normal. When we don't think that, we think somebody else has done it to us or that it's intolerable or whatever. Usually when it's intolerable, it's because we're not choosing it. We're fighting it. And then when that happens, that's when you need to start doing your thought work. You need to figure out your shit. Working through the accountability program and trying to learn my 24-hour plan and results. I'm assessing with if is was one on plan. I don't even understand that. Can somebody retype that? Working through the accountability module and trying to learn from my 24-hour plans. I'm assessing with if it was on plan. Okay, I get it. Was it on plan? Yes or no? If it's a no, why? What did I learn? Besides that, I haven't been going back to look at what exactly I'm eating. I'd go back and look at that. What is a good way to review what and why I'm eating in an efficient way? I must be eating for maintenance right now, but I'm thinking that is because I'm focused on eating on plan rather than for weight loss. First, you have to be eating on plan. Second, you have to be eating according to hunger scale on the plan. Third, you start leveling up the food you put on the plan. That's how I like to think about it. It doesn't mean you have to do it that way. You can do where you're going to like commit to the plan, then you're going to work on leveling up, and then you're going to really dial your hunger scale in more. But I see people get further faster. Like, I just think about me. When I was losing weight, especially the more weight you have to lose, it was much easier for me to change the foods I was eating before I was changing the quantities. I think it's great if you can take both and go hand in hand, but some people may not be ready. So if you want to like parcel it out a little bit different, what I would do is you're really good at the plan part. Then what I would do is move on to, okay, now I'm ready to start leveling up some of those choices. And then you just keep monitoring your hunger scale. Guys, like I think there's a big thing. Like I think it's really helpful to like, if you are going to do anything on the hunger scale side, well, here's how I would look at the hunger scale. I would pick out which side freaks you out less honoring. Trying to honor, learning about. Like if getting hungry scares you, focus more on stopping it satisfied. And then just kind of like, all right, I'm going to see if I can wait till I'm hungry, but I'm not going to get freaked out if I'm eating when I'm not hungry yet. You never get freaked out, but you know what I mean? If like, no, I want to eat a little bit more, then I would for sure then start with, okay, well, I'm going to really wait on when I'm actually hungry. I won't start until I'm actually hungry. I want to make sure that I get this part dialed. And then you can start working on the other side. While you're doing all this, doing the thought work just makes implementing which things you choose, committing to your plan and following it, doing the hunger scale, all the bullshit that comes along with your like mindset around the plus and minus two, all that thought work just makes doing all that stuff easy. But as long as you're just constantly, guys, practicing different things and looking at it and not thinking that what you're doing is either right or wrong or fail or succeed or whatever. It's like, you're just working on things. You're always your best experiment. Every single eating opportunity is its own experience. That's the way I always like to look at it. I still look at it that way. Every time I'm eating, it's like, all right, this is its own experience. I don't bring my judgment from the last meal into it. And I don't bring my fear about where I'm going in the future into it. I stay in this moment. How closely should I be reviewing my food plan? I'm not losing, so I must be amazed. Oh, we just answered that. Was talking to my Marco Polo group. I've been in the tribe for a year. I can't get past the future self work and no BS. I cannot see a future. Stacy, who's at goal weight, or give her a badass name. I get stuck every time I try. What can I do? Skip the module and move on. Seriously. Like, if you've been trying, then do modules 4 and 5. Like, just be like, I'll come back to module 3 in another month and try it again. And then if that doesn't happen, then in another month, come back again. You don't need a name. Guys, it's fun, but you don't need one. If you can't see your, like, when you're looking at your goal weight, then quit looking at your goal weight. Like, where's Stacy in 30 days? What is she doing? What is she thinking? Just take it down to 30 days. With my exception, the last few weeks has included food and drinks. Is that too much? Should I be picking just one thing? No, I don't think it's too much. I do food and drink every week. The scale will tell you if it's too much. If you're planning all of it and whatnot, you know, here's the thing. The more you plan in your exception, guys, the more you need to pay attention to your hunger scale. Don't go into that meal starved up for it. And then don't, so that you're not going into it desperate and practicing like, oh my God, it's going to be like another week before I get this. No, that's bullshit. But plan, go ahead and eat like normal all day long. It's just an exception meal. Enjoy what you're going to have, but also challenge yourself to be like, yeah, I get these whenever I want. Like, if I'm going to plan food and drink, I'm just going to have some. I'm going to satisfy my cravings for all this stuff. And we're going to talk about that next month also, the difference between urges and cravings. They're like, a lot of us have cravings. But cravings aren't emotional. We think they're emotional. Urges are emotional. That's where we're eating because we're desperate, we're lonely, we're too excited, we're all these things. Cravings are things like I like wine or chocolate, or for me, like nachos and stuff, like, or fried liver, whatever. It's like you have a craving for it. And when you have a craving for it and you have your back, you can have some. And you just plan for it. And then you just move on. And you don't feel like you have to go face down because you're like, no, I know that I can have this again. This is not a problem. Does eating when hungry include things like ice cream and planned exceptions? Can't really get full on ice cream unless I eat too much and then feel sick. Well, you don't, like, here's what I would do. Like, I would just eat to satisfy. We're not trying to get full. Does eating when hungry include things? Yeah, it does include those things. If you have a planned exception though, guys, you don't have to wait until you're hungry to have them. But I do encourage you to not eat till you're full on them or overeat on them. Practice not doing that. And here's why. Because it usually is driven from, I want you to be real honest with yourself. When you overindulge, there's probably diet mentality backing that up. You're not probably eating it because you feel so confident that you're going to be able to have it whenever you want it. So like, if you're really wanting to include ice cream into your plan, do like I did, include some, but just have some. Like, I don't have to get full off of it. I can have a little ice cream after dinner if I want. Guys, all of you can be doing this now. You don't need me to tell you this shit. I don't give you food plans for a reason. If you want to have ice cream every single night, you plan for it. Just like Melanie planned for chocolate cake. Guess what it also means? You eat a little less dinner so that you have a little room for ice cream. It's that simple. None of us are overweight because we've been over-planning our treats and having them responsibly and backing up a little ice cream with a salad. That's not our problem. Let's be real fucking honest here. If you're stalling out and that's you, I will be happy to work with you on some stuff. Go to Ask Coaches, put this in Facebook. We'll talk about it. But the majority of us, we need to just level up in some areas. We need to just cut back a tad. We don't have to like be deprived and crazy train. Okay, that's it. We whipped through it today, y'all. Good questions. I really like the questions, y'all. These are some smart questions. You can always tell when we're in it. We're in it to win it. And I'm very excited about next month. So I will see you guys tomorrow for the weekend motivator. I think it's at noon. And y'all have an amazing Thursday. Talk to you later. Bye, y'all.